Recordings are started.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the RPM TMCH Questions Sub-Team Call taking place on Wednesday, 23rd of November, 2016 at 1600 UTC. On the call today, we have Edward Morris, Cathy Kleiman, Kiran Malancharubin, Paul Keating, Paul Chattersfield, Philip Corwin, and Susan Payne. From staff, we have David Tate and myself, Yishin Nazlar, and we have received an apology from Kurt Pitt. Finally, if I could please remind everyone to state their names before speaking for the transcript purposes. And over to you, David. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yeshim, and hopefully the echo's now gone. Yes, just to pick up on where we are, the questions on this table which have been greened are those which have been the review has been completed, and so perhaps the best place is to pick up at question number 4 in the first section, which is mark guidance. Now, that question reads, are design marks allowed under the currently adopted rules of the TMCH? Question mark, should designs be allowed and under what circumstances? Now, this the where we left off prior to ICANN 7 was that there was no consensus on this question, and that there was this was a discussion that had to be picked up again. So if that's an appropriate place to start, maybe if anyone has any views on this, which may have been changed since the ICANN meeting or which has remained the same, then perhaps I can invite people to raise their hands and kick off the discussion. Ed, you put your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, David. I guess I'm a little bit confused about why we wouldn't have this question. I mean, to me, it seems it's a legitimate question. I guess I'm confused about the position for why we should exclude it. Maybe somebody could explain that to me so I understand a bit better. Thanks.
Kathy and Susan. So we'll go to Kathy first.
Let me let Susan go first, and I'll go in after the cue on her. Thanks.
Okay. Hi. Thanks, Susan. I'm not sure anyone suggested excluding it. If I'm honest, I can't remember the discussion on this one. I don't necessarily think it needs excluding. I suspect that the conversation was around whether it needed to be clarified or not and where it sits in the grouping of questions. But, I mean, I think it's a reasonable question to ask about, you know, what are the provisions relating to design marks and do they need, you know, reconsideration?
Kathy?
Hi, coming off mute. So let me ask a question to Susan and everyone else. Would it be useful to preface the current question with a question that I know has been asked by the data gathering subteam, but that the charter, you know, the working group as a whole doesn't always see all the work we're doing in the subgroup. So would it help to preface with the question, how are design marks currently handled by the provider? And then are design marks allowed under the currently adopted rules? And really kind of, you know, the full evaluation of this. So, because I agree, there's no, you know, it's a good question. There's no reason to keep it out. It has been, you know, passed on to us frequently. But so let me read it again. How are design marks currently handled by the provider or providers? I forget whether that should be singular or plural. And then going on to the full question that's already there. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Kathy. It's I don't feel very strongly. To be honest, I personally, I think if we were going to have a question about design marks, it's implicit that we'd have to consider how they're being treated. I don't think the additional language is particularly needed. I'm not going to fight over it if other people think it would be helpful. All I guess I would comment generally is just that I don't think we should make our questions so prescriptive that we then have an argument about whether we're allowed to consider something because, you know, surely if we'd intended that, we'd have covered every eventuality in the question. I mean, I think the questions are just meant to guide the scope of the conversation.
Fair enough. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Well, unless anybody disagrees, maybe we can go on to the next open question. So it looks like we move this one to green. Looks like Kieran agrees with Susan. I think we're all in agreement. Anybody disagree? Okay, David, back to you to move us to the next question. Number four goes green. Thank you. David, are you still there?
Apologies, Kathy. I started talking and then not come off mute. This is David Tate for the record.
I love doing that.
We've question six, five to seven are green already. So we're on question eight, which is in the balance section. That's page four of the document. And the question reads, are legitimate non-commercial...
I'm sorry, David, could you stop a second? Number seven is number seven green for us? That is green?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I apologize. Okay, it wasn't an earlier version. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So that's question eight, which reads, are legitimate non-commercial, commercial, and individual registrants losing legitimate opportunities to register domain names in new GTLDs? Now, the proposed revision is to remove this entirely. Because the suggestion was that it's been dealt with by the preceding question. However, no consensus was reached on that during our last calls. Kathy, you've got your hand up.
Okay. Would anybody object to just including 8 as a parenthesis after 7? Just so that, first, it is a charter question that came to us, and just we do have kind of clarifying information in other questions. So it would just be part of kind of the overall scope of question 7 would be to include the actual charter question that came to us in 8. Just parentheses, not something to focus on, but something to help people understand some of the issues we're diving into when we talk about balance.
Bill, you've got your hand up. Would you like to speak next?
Yes. Okay, just to... Okay, yeah, I think 7... 8 is kind of implicit in 7. It's about balance, and that's one aspect of balance. I don't have a strong opinion whether including it or not. I think it's going to come up in the discussion on question 7 anyway. So that's all I had to say on it.
Susan, you've got your hand up.
Yes, sorry. Susan. I agree with Phil. I think it's implicit in the question about balance that goes above. If we were to include this, I think it would be balanced to then also include a parenthesis which says, you know, are the legitimate rights of trademark owners being adequately protected? I mean, I think, you know, that's the point. It's balanced. So if we want to put in this one parenthesis, maybe we should also put in that counter position as well. Just, you know, to make sure everyone's clear what we're considering.
Is This is David Tate. Would anyone have a response to Susan's proposal?
Yeah, maybe, this is Kathy, that we should look at number 9 too, because we're going to have the same issue there. So just, I guess we're just seeing if we want to add any clarification to 7. 8, 9, and Susan's modification are all kind of in the in the hopper for this kind of clarification. I agree. A lot of it's implicit, but would it help for people to see the words? So let me read 9. Does the TMCH provide avenues that are procedurally and substantively fair to effectively balance the rights of rights holders, as Susan was saying, versus normal Internet users, more the registrants? So the only question is what would help clarify 7 for people looking at it, you know, fairly, you know, anew, without the background that we have. And so maybe I'll refer to some of the other members of the working group. Does anything help clarify as you look at 7, 8, and 9? What would help make 7 as clear as possible and as balanced as possible? Thanks.
This is David Tate, for the record. So the proposal at the moment then from Kathy is to add question 8 and additionally a second part of question 8 which makes reference to legitimate rights holders, and then additionally question 9 as parentheses to question 7. Does anyone have any views of that? Ed, you? Paul's indicated that he believes 8 and 9 are subsets of 7. Susan, you've got your hand up.
My preference would have been to delete 9 because I don't think, again, you know, I think it's duplicative. I guess I can live with it being a subset, but not with the term normal internet users, which I'm taking strong exception. We're all normal internet users.
This is Kathy. It looks like I'm next. I agree with deleting 9. I don't know who drafted it or exactly what they meant. We can guess what they meant by normal internet users. But I like keeping 8 because I think it's actually a more substantive question. It's not a balanced question. It's a kind of a yes or no question that I think will help guide the group as we go. So keeping 8 with Susan's modification in addition, expansion, is fine by me. And maybe David could write it up and circulate it, and we'll just look and see, you know, if we like it. But it's really like a parenthesis. 8 becomes a parenthesis to 7. But I think it is a little different. So, again, recommend keeping 8 and with Susan's expansion. Thanks. And then moving on, because I think we may make it through all these questions today. Thanks.
This is David Tate for the record. Yes, okay, thank you. So efficiency agreement on making question 8 parentheses or subsection of question 7 and deleting question 9. So at that point, we're moving on to question 10, which reads, how do we determine what good chilling effect and bad chilling effect in relations, how do we determine what is good chilling effect and bad chilling effect in relation to RPMs?
Would This is Kathy. Would anyone mind if we just punted this question to the trademark claims questions, the charter questions, so when we review the trademark claims, because this is kind of a combination of my wording and Jeff Newman's wording. And so if we just bump it to the trademark claims notice questions, we can review it later and decide in the context of all those questions whether it's appropriate or not, or whether it's encapsulated already or not. But I'd just punt it right now. Thanks.
Susan appears to agree with this in the chat, and as does Phil. So and Paul. So on that point, and Karen as well. So unless there's any objections, we'll move to question 11, which reads, how should the TMCH scope be limited to apply only to categories of goods and services in which the generic terms in a trademark are protected? Ed, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, David. I guess Kathy had a question there about whether it's redundant. I don't think it is, but I do like to rephrase question a lot better. It's less leading.
So the proposal at this point seems to be to agree to the rephrased question. Is there any opposition or further modification to that proposal? Susan, you put your hand up.
Sorry about this. Yes. Is this 11 we're talking about? Just to be
That's
sure
right,
I'm
yes.
talking about the right one. Yeah. I'm not sure I quite understand what the rephrasing is getting at. Because I think the TMCH, I'm not quite sure what we're suggesting. I mean, the TMCH, you just put your mark in there. It doesn't do anything. It just, your mark just sits there. So it seems to me like this is actually a question about the sunrise or the claims or both. But I'd love someone to explain to me, because I may just be misunderstanding. And then assuming it is a question about the sunrise or the claims or both, what are we actually saying? Are we saying that if the trademark, should the application of the RPMs take into account in a particular registry where the term would be descriptive in that context? This is a sort of genuine question. I just would like, I'd love someone to kind of clarify.
This is David Tate from staff. Would one of the other members of the sub-team like to raise their hand to respond to Susan? Kathy, you've got your hand up. Thank you.
Sure. I think Susan has a talent for Susan, you've got this great talent for rephrasing and capturing the essence of the question, so I was just writing it down. Should the application of the RPMs take into account the categories of goods and services of the mark? I think that's a slight variation of what you said. I think that is probably the overarching question, and it's come up a number of times in the charter questions. So looks like Paul Keating wants to speak to this, and I know he works on this specifically. So let me yield. But I think you may have captured the essence. Thanks.
Hello, can you hear me? This is Paul Keating. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can, Paul. Please.
Anybody hear me? Okay, good. Been having off and on here with my audio. Okay, so I read this question as, okay, so we all understand the TMCH is a database, nothing more. The question is really, in my mind, when I look at this question, is what is going to be reported by the TMCH along with the data that is provided? Right? Is it just this person has this trademark, period? Right? Or is it listed just with classification numbers, which no normal registrant would really understand what they are? Okay. Or do they need to include whether or not there's a disclaimer? Those are the sort of things that I see this question dealing with. I'll go on mute.
Thanks, Paul. Kathy, you've got your hand up?
Yeah, because Paul makes a really good point, kind of how it's recorded, which I think runs to Susan's point, which is why is it here in the TMCH charter questions? But I also think the application of it is a question as well. The application of, you know, taking, you know, is... Are the RPMs taking into account the categories of goods and services of the mark or something else? So I would keep both, the variation that Paul is talking about, and maybe he can elaborate a little bit, disclaimers, details, because I think right now the whole trademark goes in. But maybe this is something we can lay the framework. Maybe this question needs to lay more of a framework and ask whether additional information should be added to the database, such as disclaimers, if they're not there already, as well as this application to Sunrise and trademark claims and perhaps other uses of the database. So it sounds like a longer question. David, does that give you enough guidance to kind of take this, or should we keep working on this? Because it doesn't sound like anybody objects to the question. Just more the phrasing, and also that it looks like we're going to be raising it later as well, that it should be captured, not it should be kept here, but also captured for trademark claims and rights and Sunrise. Thanks.
This is David Tate from staff. Kathy, I'll maybe come back to your question as well. I know that's enough guidance for staff in a minute, but Susan's got her hand up, so I'll let her speak to respond to you directly.
All I was going to say was if and to the extent that we are asking this question in relation to the Sunrise or the claims, and could well be that it's already in the charter questions for those two RPMs anyway, I don't necessarily agree with the language of as it currently is. But you know, I think that's a conversation to have when we get onto Sunrise and claims. So just to clarify that... But I'm not necessarily agreeing with the wording if we move it.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Have you got a view on the proposed rephrasing of the question, which is contained in column 3? Would that be acceptable, or is that what you're suggesting you would not be comfortable with?
Well, I think I still don't really – I'm not quite sure in relation to the TMCH, if we're asking it as a TMCH question. We had some conversation just now around, you know, should more information be captured in the records that the TMCH holds, or, you know, something, you know, that, as Paul was saying, rather than talking about specifically about limiting – the categories. I don't know. It seems a bit narrow, but I don't know. Kieran, what do you think? I don't know if you've got audio. Oh.
Kieran's just taking a couple of minutes to formulate his response. Does anyone else have any comments just while we wait for him to type that out?
maybe, I mean, could we move on and come back to this one perhaps, rather than sort of holding everything up?
Of course, no problem. So we're moving on then to question 12. If everyone agrees, we'll note that there's no resolution reached on that question. And the question for question 12, it reads, should the TMCH matching rules be expanded, e.g. to include plurals, marks contained, or marks plus keyword and or common typos of a mark? And it's noted that this could potentially be a sub-question to question 11, which we haven't settled on. So at this point, the question from me would be, do we want to look at this question or delay it and review it alongside question 11? Susan?
Well, I don't think it is a sub-question. I don't really see 11 and 12 as being particularly related. Again, interested to know if others do. But I kind of think that they stand quite separately from each other.
Kathy, you put your hand up.
Yeah, agree with Susan on this. I think maybe the question was whether 12 and 13 should be combined, and I don't think they should be combined either. I think they are related types of analyses, but two entirely different questions. And 13 is, should TM plus 50 be reversed? And that's, of course, a question coming straight out of the charter. So so one's expanding and one's narrowing, really. So I wouldn't combine them, but I'd keep them both and kind of create their own section. You know, just create a section that's looking at both issues. Thanks.
Bill, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest, it's not critical, but that maybe question 13 should precede 12, because the actual use of the TM plus 50 option will inform discussion of the other question, whether there should be further expansion. But they are separate questions. That's all I had.
Thank you, Phil. Ed, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I just say, do the people who will be responding know what TM50 is? I mean, I took that through CEP, so I have heavy knowledge about TM50 and a lot of frustration there. But do the general members of the community, now that we're 2 to 3 years past this point, are they going to know what TM50 is without an explanation?
This is David Tate from staff. So just to summarise where we are, there seems to be a broad agreement that 12 should be retained as a separate question. There's the proposal from Phil that it should be preceded by question 13, and the proposal from Ed that there, and in the chat from Kieran, that there should be an explanation. And on behalf of staff, we could perhaps rework that so there was an appropriate footnote to accompany that question. Susan, you've got your hand up.
Thank you. Yes. On 13 or whatever, you know, I'm using the old numbering. And in the spirit of balance, which we've been trying to achieve for the questions, we've been trying with all of our questions not to have them be kind of too ding, if you like. I mean, it seems like we could say something like, should the TM plus 50 be retained or reversed? Or retained or removed, or, you know, something like that. I think that would be quite helpful. And then on the matching rules 112, See, again, this is one where I don't mind it being in the TMCH section, but the reality of it is that the matching rules don't kick in until you start applying this to the Sunrise or the claims. You know, there's nothing, the matching rules don't really apply in themselves in what you put in the TMCH. You put the mark in. You don't put the mark plus a keyword, or, unless that's what we're suggesting. Maybe that's what we're suggesting. Sorry, I'm kind of thinking whilst I'm speaking.
This is David Tate from staff. Just to note that Ed in the chat expresses his support for Susan's proposed reworking of the question. Kathy, you put your hand up.
It's hard to read small print. Sorry, I think I'm agreeing with Kieran that TM plus 50 does belong in this section. And I'm okay with Susan's suggestion that 12, current 12, move, should the TMCH matching rules be moved to the application section. Sunrise, TM claims, anything else we might be looking at. But in her spirit of balance, I think I would say, should the TMCH matching rules be narrowed or expanded, e.g. to include? So we're adding the word narrowed or, so that we're looking at both sides of the equation. Thanks.
Can I just leap straight in? I'm very happy to have balance, but I don't think we can narrow them. I mean, they're currently the exact mark only. So, I mean, how could you narrow it beyond the exact mark? I think, you know, retained or expanded, or, you know, just a word, you know, reconsidered, which would cover both. I don't see how you can narrow the matching rules from a what it currently is, which is just an exact match.
Except, of course, for the trademark plus 50.
Yeah, but we've got a question on trademark plus 50, so...
Okay, I think you're right, be retained or expand. I don't know. I think we may still be looking at trademark plus 50 when we get down to the details. My guess is the working group may – I would keep that possibility. The working group may want to look at the details, so I'm not sure I'd exclude it or eliminate it. Interesting. Hard to do drafting on the fly. Let me think. Thank you.
So just to summarize where we are with that, and that's to note in relation to question 12, it's been agreed to that this should remain as a standalone question, but that it should be, the proposal is that it could be moved to the Sunrise section, and Kathy's proposal was to add the term narrowed in advance of the term expanded, but we've not got an agreed position on this yet. In relation to question 13, there was a proposal to reorder this with question 12, so making question 13, question 12, and question 12, 13. There's a proposal to add an explanation of TM plus 50 as a footnote in the next draft of this document, and then it was proposed to revise the question to read, should TM plus 50 be retained or removed?
David, great summary. This is Kathy. New proposal in the chat, changing the words retained, modified, or expanded. Just so we're keeping all options open. So this is a slight modification to 12. Retained, modified, or expanded. Thanks.
And Susan's indicated that she's okay with that proposal in the chat. Okay, so that would close off question 12. So that's questions 12 and 13. So we're now on to question 14, which is the last question in this section, which says, does the TMCH create a tendency to perpetuate the status quo? And it was noted on the working group call the 15th that this question is unclear in meaning and scope. And again, notes it's noted that this should probably be deleted. Ed's indicated that he thinks this should be deleted. This is supported by Susan. Unless there's any, we'll move on to question 15, which is in the section Access and Accessibility, and reads, how can TMCH services be much more transparent in terms of what is offered pursuant to ICANN contracts and policies versus what is offered to private new GTLD registries pursuant to private contracts? And it was noted at the working group call on 5th of October that this question was unclear. Susan, you've got your hand up.
Yes, thank you. It seems to me that this is a question about the guidance again. So it might be that we want to think about moving this to our guidance grouping. And it seems to me what I think this is asking is, what services does the TMCH offer, you know, whether mandated by ICANN or voluntary, and where can guidance on this be found, and is that guidance adequate? I don't understand what's being asked in terms of, you know, I don't see that we need to be asking how can the TMCH be more transparent, in the sense that presupposes there isn't transparency, but I mean, I think what we're actually asking, or what this question I think is asking, is, you know, what are the services being offered? Where can you find out information about them? And is that information good enough? However, if anyone has any insight into what they think this question means that's different, go for it.
Cathy, you've got your hand up.
I agree with Susan, but when I think of TMCH services, I automatically think of Sunrise and trademark claims. So here I think the question is asking about contracts, and in addition to services, contracts. So how – it's almost like how can TMCH services and contracts be more transparent, which you're right. There's a more direct way to ask that, Susan. You always kind of see through, you know, the most direct way to ask. So maybe we should be asking about that. What are the provider contracts for TMCH services? And, what are they offering, you know, through the ICANN process? What are they offering privately? And how are they using, you know, the TMCH database? I think that's the goal of this question. But you're right, there are clear ways to ask it. And moving it to guidance is great. Thanks.
So in the chat we have Kieran suggesting that he's still not clear on the interpretation. So this clearly needs to be redrafted. Kathy, is that something that you would like to provide specific language on? Perhaps offline?
I would defer to Susan just to see if she has any language kind of in thoughts right now. Otherwise, I can... I was typing something, but let's... Yeah, go ahead, Susan. Thanks.
Okay, so what services does the TMCH offer, whether mandated by ICANN or voluntary? Where can guidance on this be found, and is that guidance adequate?
Where is the word contract incorporated in that, Susan?
It's not.
Yeah. Okay, could we add the word contract in there somewhere, just so that whoever, you know, just so that it captures the full range, again, not just of services, but of contracts and agreements. That the other.
I guess I don't understand what you mean by that, which is why I didn't have it in there. Do you mean what transparency is there on in relation to ICANN's contract with the TMCH provider? Or are you asking something different?
I think it has to do with who's using the database. What contracts or agreements are being made for those who, both through the ICANN process and perhaps privately, are using the TMCH database. There's not a lot of transparency, and that's why we're hearing the word transparency. Obviously, someone's asking about, you know, do we know everything that's going on here? And so I think that's beyond services. I think it is into contracts and agreements. Because the services kind of, you know, might be interpreted as something different. They're asking about contracts and agreements here. And welcome to Kurt. Glad you joined us.
I'm not quite sure why it matters. I mean, if you sign up as a registry to the TMCH, there are terms and conditions you sign up to, which are standard for every registry. And I don't think there's anything secretive about them, but I guess I don't understand what you think this question is seeking, I suppose. I'm not trying to be difficult. I
think it comes down to who's using the database and for what. That may be what they're asking for, just more clarity, transparency, clarity, in who's using the TMCH database, not just the services, but the database and what's in there. That's one way to interpret this question. Because, again, I guess that's our job, is trying to interpret these charter questions that we've been given. And probably the best way to find out who's using the data is who has contracts and agreements with the TMCH providers.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it is. I mean, I'm not objecting necessarily, but I think there's been a strong suspicion that some registrars, for example, are downloading the bulk data for purposes which aren't to do with the trademark claims. But, I mean, it's not a contract for them to do that. I mean, that's quite the reverse. So I'm not sure that a contract's going to help, but, yeah. I mean, we can ask the question. I very much doubt anyone's going to be willing to provide us with contracts, but,
No, but maybe not the contract itself, but who has contracts with the TMCH providers, kind of what's going on with this dynamic. It's been raised lots of different ways. And from lots of different perspectives, and in the analysis group and in response to the analysis group. So I think it's broader, Karen, than what you're saying.
So, Kathy, with just 2 minutes before the top of the hour, it's perhaps worth noting that there's no consensus at this point, and this is probably the correct point to, although we'll note the amendment proposed by Kinnan. But it's probably worth talking about the next meeting for this sub-team to try and wrap this work up. Obviously, there isn't a slot available before the next working group meeting. The next slot for this working group would be at the usual time on Friday next week, unless there's any difficulties with that, in which case staff, so that would be Friday 2nd of December. So unless there's any difficulty presented with that, or any members, if anyone has any concerns about that date, that would be the next available slot for this meeting.
What date is that, yeah, David?
That's the 2nd of December.
2nd of December, sorry. Okay. I could do that.
Susan, you've got your hand up?
Well, I was just going to say, actually, I don't think I can do that, but that shouldn't stop other people going ahead, obviously. But I'm going to be in at a meeting all afternoon. So you know, I leave it to the wider group. But I was just going to sort of, because I feel like maybe it's because I raised these questions that we haven't reached agreement on this particular one. And I wonder if maybe the language I had suggested, with some reference to contracts and perhaps some reference to Kieran's kind of sub-question, might it be appropriate to suggest maybe, David, that you could have a stab at pulling that together and seeing if we all think that looks reasonable for when we have the next call? Because I'm not, although I agree we don't have consensus, I'm not sure that we're in disagreement, if you know what I mean. I wouldn't want it to you know, everyone to come back on the call next time and think we were all at odds over this one, because I don't think we particularly are.
Susan, yeah, absolutely happy to try and incorporate, to come up with something that incorporates all of the various elements that we raised in this discussion. And staff will make sure that's one of the, we'll produce, we would have been anyway, but that'll be one of the things included in the revised and updated version of this document that will circulate shortly. Okay, unless there are any other comments at this time, I'd just like to thank you all for attending this afternoon and wish you a pleasant rest of the week.
Lovely, thanks everyone, and happy Thanksgiving to my American colleagues.
Thank you very much. Wish we could send you some turkey.
Thank you all. Good afternoon.
This is now adjourned. The audio will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation and have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.